The storm you're in is part of your formation, your, better yet, transformation into focusing not on your own ability, not on your own money, not on your own job, not on your own efforts, not on your own understanding, but focusing on what God is doing for you in this storm.
Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Forestburg Church. It's Sunday, February 22nd, 2026. Pastor Jeff is speaking. Today's message is Stay on Target, Fixing Our Eyes on Our First Love. And our text comes to us from Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. And now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, I can't believe that not so long ago this place was decorated for Christmas, and then New Year's came, and then January hit, and we're at the end of February already. It's the last Sunday of February. Time seems to just fly by. And this month, I don't know if you've noticed, but I know the children have noticed, and I know in here we've been focused on love, right? It's the love month we joked a little bit about last week. Love is what brings us together today. Some of you get it, some of you don't. For those of you who do, you're my people. For those of you who don't, I don't know. Okay, I'm on now. All right. Excellent. I won't be hitting that today
because I got it here today. All right. Excellent. And so I want us to stay in the theme of love, right? Last weekend we had the Valentine's Day breakfast, and then we had Sunday, and we kept in this idea of love. And we talked a little bit about how in English we've only got one word for love, and we throw it around about our sports teams, about coffee, about food, about I love your shoes, you know, all of those things. And sometimes the word love can seem a little bit diminished when we throw it around so easily, that when we get to a point that we're talking about love, true love, right, that it might be a little washed out, might be a little watered down, so to say. But in the Bible, it's really clear when you can use the free tools that exist for you on the internet, and if you don't know how to use them, I'd be more than happy to show you, where you can look at the words in Greek and the English translation and understand the difference between a brotherly love, a romantic love, a family love, or God's unconditional love, which we know in the Word of God to be the word agape, right? We learn this month, as we've been focusing on love, we've also learned that God is love, amen? Now, not only is God is love, but God also, when we look at God, when we look at God's character, when we look at who he is and how he acts and how he behaves and how we are to behave, we learn that while God is love, then that means God is patient. God is kind. God does not envy. God does not boast. God is not proud. God does not dishonor others. God is not self-seeking. God is not easily angered. God keeps no record of wrongs. God does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. God always protects. God we can always trust. A God who always hopes for the best and always preserves. And verse 8, and this is 1 Corinthians for those of you who don't know, God never fails. Now, let me read it to you as you've read it in the Word, hopefully many times, or on the little frame in your abuelita's bathroom, right? Or maybe in the entrance of your house, you got this pretty little frame with the things there, and it's got, you know, 1 Corinthians 13 on it. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always preserves. Love never fails. If God is love, then we can walk through this life knowing that love never fails. That's the God you serve. That's the God of heaven and earth. The creator of everything. He is our true love. And the Bible explains to us that he is our first love. And so I thought about putting something in here about how, you know, if you have the love of your life with you, you better not be looking at anybody else. And God says the same thing. Don't walk away from your first love. And so on top of the love that God gives us, and it's agape, it's unconditional love. It's something we try and do, but we're not used to. We talked a little bit about that last week. But God, in his love for us, left the Holy Spirit to dwell in us. And not only has he given us his Son and his love, but he's given us power. Okay? Now, this is where you have a role to play. God's love is given to us. It's a free gift. God's salvation, redemption, forgiveness, it's a free gift from God. We receive that. And when we receive that, we also receive power. You have the power to be more than you ever thought you could be. You have the power to do more than you ever thought you could do. You have the power to do God's will. And you also have the power to do things that Jesus himself did. Now, when we start looking at what Jesus did and you start to study his life, you know, you start to see that there are a lot of miracles that are recorded in the Bible. Of course, there's also a couple of phrases in there that say he did many more miracles that are written down here. But there are at least 37 very well cataloged and described and recorded miracles that Jesus did. And so when I say you receive power, the power that you have is the power to do the things that Jesus did. And usually when I have conversations with people about this idea of power that lives in us, right? There's that song out there, I don't know who sings it, but the same power that rose Jesus from the grave lives in you is a lyric to that song. And it's a very true statement. Yet sometimes we live like we're powerless. And if I were to tell you, you too can do miracles, you would probably look at me like I'm crazy. Well, John 14, 12 says this, and this is Jesus talking. Truly, truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. He will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. You see, you may not want to grab onto that today. Or maybe you're having trouble processing that. But through faith in Jesus and in the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we too can perform miracles. Now remember, when Jesus told this to his disciples, he was talking to them about going and doing the things that he was doing. But not in the name of Peter, not in the name of John, not in the name of Andrew or James. They went in the name of Jesus and they prayed for the sick. And you know what? The sick were healed. They went and in the name of Jesus, they cast out demons. And you know what? The demons were cast out. They went and in the name of Jesus, they saw other signs and other wonders. What are you doing in the name of Jesus? What miracles are you performing for the world around you? Because you've got the gift and you've got the power. Well, but I don't know. Is that really how it should be? Yes, because he goes to the Father and we are commissioned to continue Jesus' earthly ministry. That is what you have been called to do. Now, it may look a little different for everybody. Some of you might have a heart attack and die if we told you you had to come stand up here and do something like this. Maybe this isn't your niche, but God calls each of us to a specific place where he knows he's already given us the gift and he's given us the authority through the power of the Holy Spirit. Look, the early church prayed for boldness and signs. God answered by shaking the place and filling them with the Holy Spirit. That's the book of Acts. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. That's the book of Mark. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church and pray over them. Anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. That's the book of James. What are you waiting for? Why aren't you not praying for each other? Why aren't we not laying hands on each other? Not like laying hands on each other, right? But I mean laying hands on each other and lifting each other up in what we go through. Now, Jesus performed a lot of these miracles, and you know, it's really easy for us to say, wow, look at how they reacted. His disciples heard him, and they did what he said. Oh, yeah, he was there physically. They walked together. They know him. They saw. They believed because they saw. Well, blessed are those who haven't seen and believe, is what the Word of God tells us. Not only that, many of us believe, but we feel like we've never seen miracles. There are groups of people out there who say God doesn't do miracles anymore. All of that was in the book of Acts and it all stopped then. I look around the room and I just see miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. Some of you, I sat with your parents praying for you, praying you would come back to God, that you would get right. Some of you sat around praying for me to get right with God. Miracle. Do you see it? Maybe you haven't noticed it. Maybe you don't notice the miracles that are going on in your life. Maybe you don't see the hand of God working in your life. Maybe you haven't seen how He's shown up and made it work for you. And you know what? If you don't notice how God's working for you in your life, then maybe you're not paying attention to the fact that you have the power to work miracles in the name of Jesus for others. You know, God wants to do things for you. And God wants to do things through you in His miraculous ways. Imagine what God could do through you. Imagine what you'd be able to do. Imagine what God can do through you. Take a moment and think of those people in your life who you know need Jesus, and you just haven't had the words. Imagine the miracle of walking up to that person with boldness, opening your mouth, and letting the power of the Holy Spirit work through you. That's what this is about. You know, when we're focused on God, the rest of the noise of the world is only there to distract us from our focus. And when we're distracted, we can't use discernment. So today I want us to talk about being focused on our first love. Let's read the Word of God and let's ask God to speak to us today. Matthew 14, 22 to 33 today. It's a very, very well-known miracle that Jesus did. Jesus walked on water. Let's read it. Immediately, Jesus made His disciples get into the boat and go before Him to the other side, while He sent the multitudes away. And when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up on the mountain by Himself to pray. Now when evening came, He was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, folks, that's like 3 a.m. to 6 a.m., okay? Just so you know. Now, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a ghost." And they cried out in fear, "Ah!" But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." And then the typical human answer. Peter answered Him and said, "Well, if it's You, command Me to come out to You on the water." So He said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, which is strong, he was afraid. He began to doubt. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out His hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshiped Him, saying, "Truly, You are the Son of God." Wow. You know, we've probably heard this so many times. We've probably thought about this so many times. We've never really developed it in our brain or used the imagery. And you know, we're very visual people, right? We live in a media world, lots of screens, lots of animation, lots of AI animation. I mean, you can't tell the difference between things that are real and fake anymore, you know? But we're very visual. So I want us to think about this, right? Here's the scene. Here's what's going on, okay? Jesus is ministering. He's being followed by so many people already. He needed a moment to Himself. Trust me, I understand, right? I bet you all understand that too, that every now and then you need a moment to yourself. So Jesus tells the multitudes to go away. He looks at His students, His disciples, and He says, "Get on the boat. I'll meet you on the other side." Then He goes up to the mountain to rest and to pray. When He comes down, He sees the storm and He sees the boat and it's rocking in the middle of it. Now, Jesus could probably move any way He wanted to, if you think about it. But He decided the fastest way to get to My students, My disciples, My brothers over there, is for Me to just walk a straight line. And so He just starts walking. Now, what does that look like in your brain, right? I've got different visions of this in my brain, right? Some people think that when Jesus is walking, like there's this perfect circle where the storm isn't raging, right? Like this glass part that he just walks on. Everything's chaos all around him, right? Or maybe it's going crazy and he's walking through it like this, stepping over the waves. I don't know. I wasn't there. But what I do know is that he did something that nobody could do. He stepped out and he walked on the water. Now, what do we do when we face storms in life, church? Because storms in life, they're never going to go away. Everybody freaks out in a storm. Even the disciples who had been working with Jesus, learning from Jesus, watching him do miracles, knowing that he told them, go. The Lord isn't going to send you somewhere where you're going to get hurt. He's going to protect you. He's going to send you, and he's going to be with you the whole time. They freak out. Peter takes this bold step after he calls him out, jumps out there, and then Peter loses focus. Jesus reaches out and he says, I got you. And at that moment, all the glory is given to God. You know, unpacking this for us to understand is that storms in life are constant. And we will never be able to escape the storms. And when I say storm, a lot of times the first thing we think of is weather, right? But storms can be all kinds of things. It can be a disagreement. It could be a promotion. It could be getting fired. It could be facing a medical diagnosis. It could be a financial situation. It could be a relationship issue. It could just be a conviction issue that you're dealing with in your life. All of those things will work as storms. And a sudden job loss, a family struggle, all of these things can make us so confused and afraid, and we begin to doubt God's plan in our life. But we need to recognize that even in the middle of the storms, God's plan for you is ongoing. It hasn't stopped. The storm you're in is part of your formation, your, better yet, transformation into focusing not on your own ability, not on your own money, not on your own job, not on your own efforts, not on your own understanding, but focusing on what God is doing for you in this storm. You know, we have to hold tight to God, knowing that his plan is ongoing. And it's not only ongoing, but God shows up. And when God shows up in the storms, it's like this moment where you're stuck in the darkness, and all of a sudden, God shows up, and in the same way he did with the universe in your life, God says, let there be light. And you're no longer in the darkness. Now you can see. Your eyes are open. There's no reason to be afraid because Jesus comes to us in the midst of trouble. If you're battling anything, whatever it may be, right? I got a list here. Anxiety, depression, fear, doubt, worry, uncertainty. They're all synonyms. They all mean the same thing. Let me define it for you. You're not focused on God. You're focused on the problem. We cannot be people who focus on the problem. God is with you in the midst of your problem. Maybe it's a natural disaster. Maybe it's a relationship issue, like I said. But we are able to live out a life in peace in the storms. But in order to do that, you got to listen to Jesus. And Jesus is going to call you out. And he's not just going to say, how come you're not focused on me? He's going to say, get out the boat. You have to be able to move in faith and focus on your first love. But in order to do that, you have to get out of the boat. Getting out of the boat means a lot of different things to different people, depending on the situation you're in, depending on what you're facing, depending on what storm you are dealing with. You need to get out of the boat. Jesus said, come. Are you ready to get out of the boat? Now, you need to get out of the boat, church. It doesn't matter if you're an entrepreneur. Maybe you're starting a business and you have no idea how it's going to work out. And you're like, Lord, I don't know where the money's going to come for this, but this is what you've got me in. I'm going to trust you, and I'm just going to know that you're going to provide. And in uncertain economic moments of your life, uncertain financial moments of your life, you can reach to God and be steady and not, it's a ghost, like the disciples were when Jesus came to him. Jesus is coming to you. Are you going to see a ghost or are you going to see the Savior? Because he's the Savior. If you're deciding to forgive somebody, a family member who maybe hurt you really deeply, stepping out of the boat is like stepping out in faith and forgiving those people. Oh, but I can't let go of my unforgiveness. It's what keeps me warm at night. Boy, I'm glad God is warm. Because unforgiveness is poison. There may be people in your life who have hurt you. And you may be like, yeah, I forgive them, but I hate that guy. Men of Power, we talked about this on Wednesday night, right? Anger that begins in the heart leads to murder in the heart. And that's what God's calling us to. Heart issues, right? So how can I forgive that person? Get out of the boat. Stop giving it authority. Because when you get out of the boat, you're going to walk on water. Oh no, I'm going to sink. Yeah, you will if you're not focused. If you're not focused, doubt and fear will take over and you will be led by doubt and fear through the storm instead of being focused on Jesus. You have to recognize when you drift away from your first love. You have to recognize that God doesn't like it when you're not focused on Him. You have to recognize that God's love for you is agape, unconditional. And we need to love Him in that same way. If we are distracted with things like work, relationships, worry, whatever else it may be, when we're distracted with all of those things, Revelations 2 tells us, I have against you, I have this against you, that you have abandoned your first love. God never fails, church. God never lets us down. God never abandons us. Oh, but we have been so good at not being focused on Him that we've left ourselves abandoned in a storm. And there's such a danger of doubt and fear. When we allow doubt and fear to take over our life, we get into a lot of trouble. You know, in Revelations, Jesus calls the church in Ephesus, right? Not by phone. He's like, hey, yo, what's up, church in Ephesus? That's not what I mean. But He calls them out and He says, you need to recognize that you have drifted from me. Can I ask you to do something today? Can I ask you to get all up in your own business and look deep into your heart today and do some self-reflection? And in that self-reflection, can you ask yourself, am I focused on my first love or have I drifted away? Only you can answer that. And only God knows. But God is so good. God is so good that if you've drifted away, He comes walking out on the water to you in the middle of the storm. And He says, come. Come. And you got to get out of the boat. Look, doubt is like taking your eyes off of Jesus and focusing on the storm. It happens. We get in moments like that. We have to refocus. If you're facing anything, whatever it may be, stop trusting in yourself. Focus on your first love. Call out to Jesus. Maybe you're feeling overwhelmed. For some of you bigs that are in here still, you know, you're at school and you're trying to share Jesus with people. You just don't know how. You're trying to help people, but you're afraid. You're afraid of rejection. You're afraid of being put down. You're afraid of not fitting in. All of those things can happen. You can feel overwhelmed with peer pressure to let go of your faith. I see some of these kids go to university. They've loved the Lord from their baby dedication right here all the way to high school. They go to college and some philosophy professor says that God isn't real. And all of a sudden they walk away from God. Because now you're distracted instead of using discernment. And you can't be discerning if you're depending on yourself or if you're depending on humanity. The only way we can truly be discerning about what God really wants for our lives is to be connected with Him, in relationship with Him. You have to understand the Lord is near to all who call on Him. To all who call on Him in truth. Those are not my words. That's Psalms 145. God hears us. God hears you. God hears us when we call. We have to walk in faith, not by sight, because our eyes will lie to us. Our lies will tell us, oh, it's so bad. Oh, it's so horrible. Oh, look what's going on. There's so much evil. Oh, I don't have enough money. I don't have enough this. I'm too tall, too short, too skinny, too fat. House is too big. House is too small. Whatever it is, we just get so caught up in all of these things, and we spend all this time and all of this energy on things that at the end of the day don't matter. Because what matters is our relationship with God, right? You have to be focused on Him. Imagine a tightrope walker, right? You guys know what a tightrope walker is, right? Okay? So I saw this analogy. I thought it was kind of cool. I figured I'd share it with you. Have you ever tried to walk on a tightrope, right? At some point in your life, you tied a rope to a couple of trees and you tried it, and I'm pretty sure you stepped on it. The rope went all the way down to the ground. You said, look, I'm doing it, you know? But a real tightrope walker, think of those images of people crossing in New York from skyscraper to skyscraper, hundreds of stories in the air, right? Some of you just got dizzy just thinking about it, right? Here's the idea. The tightrope walker, the discipline is to look at the target, not the rope. Because if you look at the rope, you see 10 stories down to your death. You might get a little dizzy. You might get a little wobbly. You might get a little nervous. The discipline of a tightrope walker is to look at the goal. The rope isn't moving. The rope is straight. The path to God is narrow. But when we're focused on God, we're not falling over because we're dizzy looking around at all the danger. We're focused on the solution. We're focused on peace. We're focused on hope. We're focused on love. We're focused on Him. When we fix our eyes on Jesus and not the storms, we can live by faith and not by sight. You know, we have to get out of the boat. Jesus is calling you to get out of the boat. Well, I can't walk on water. That's not going to work. If Jesus says come, you go. It doesn't matter if the ground is lava, right? Like the kids play the game, ground is lava, jumping from the furniture to the other furniture. Don't touch the ground is lava. If it's lava and Jesus says go, guess what? You're going to walk on lava. If it's hot coals or fire and Jesus says come, you're going to walk on fire. If it's broken glass and Jesus says come, you're going to walk on broken glass. If you're on a boat and there's a storm and Jesus says come, you're going to walk on water. I don't know how to get you excited about that. Y'all seem afraid. Y'all seem to be doubting. You're going to walk on water. Man, at this point, my note says, and everybody jumped and cheered. You got to get out of the boat. You can't be afraid to get out of the boat. You can't be afraid to trust in Jesus. Do you remember John 14:12? We started with that. Do you remember what it said? Truly, truly. It didn't say, maybe, maybe. It didn't say, I might be able to help you. Jesus spoke into your life and said, truly, truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. He will do even greater than these because I'm going to the Father. That's you. That's you. God has called you to do even greater things. And these are not my words. These are Jesus' words. Some of you got this look on your face today like you don't want to do anything. You just want to wait for Jesus to call you home and be happy in heaven. And you want a peaceful life until that's done. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You've been called. Jesus was walking down the road and he saw some fishermen. They had their nets. And he said, follow me. The word of God says they dropped their nets and they followed him. Jesus is calling you out today and saying, follow me. And you're saying, maybe after the closing ceremonies of the Olympics. Maybe after the spring training Dodgers game. Maybe after my tacos. It's so easy to be distracted by things that are comfortable to us. And it's so easy to be distracted by the storms in our life that we lose focus on our first love. Sister, I'm sorry, but I'm going to use you right now, okay? I had a conversation with Sister Pat on Tuesday. And we know Sister Pat is a cancer survivor multiple times. And we were talking about what she's going through right now. And she looked at me and with so much confidence, she said, you know, my Lord's got me. Yeah, I go to the doctors, I do my thing, but the Lord's got me. I'm good. There was a peace about it, wasn't there, sister? There's a peace about it. When you're focused on God, no matter what the storm is, you can live in peace. You have to stay focused on God when you get out of the boat. Sounds good. Amen? Sounds good, doesn't it? Yeah. Yeah, but some of you are going to be like, yeah, it does sound good, but it doesn't really work in the real world. Not with what I'm facing, not with what I'm going through. Oh, yeah? Is that what you think? You don't think you can perform the miracles that God wants you? Well, maybe that's because you're focused on distraction instead of being discerning about what God wants for your life. I need to share with you something that I've been struggling that whether I was going to share or not, and I'm going to do it. Because you have probably already had a walking on water moment, you just don't remember. Maybe you didn't notice it like that. Maybe you didn't see it in that way. But every year, a couple of times a year, I'm required to attend some conferences and some meetings. And when I go to these meetings, it can be very difficult. Because while they pretend to be my friends, a lot of those people there have presented themselves as my enemy. They want to be in this competition. They are the structures and authorities that exist. And I have no choice but to attend some of these events. And for years, I've attended these events. And I've walked in, prayed up, God protect me. I know I'm walking into the lion's den. I know I got to deal with these snakes. It's an unwelcoming spirit. It can be oppressive. And so I would go in prayed up and ready to go to battle. I'd be prayed up, watching every move my enemy made, watching every way that they could come and attack me, guarding my heart, watching my back. And I would leave there feeling victorious because they didn't get me. But I would still need to go home, and I felt like I needed to take a bath in bleach and scrub myself with steel wool to get the ugly spirit that I had to sit in for this conference off of me. But I still felt victorious. I wasn't walking on water. I was in the boat. Recently, I had to go to one of these events. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And I knew that I had God's covering on me every single time I went to this. But this time when I walked in, I wasn't focused on my enemy. I was focused on Jesus. And I walked into this place and I was covered. I was covered by His protection. But in this moment, His protection wasn't angels. It wasn't Navy SEALs. It wasn't a sword. It wasn't even a shield. It was a covering of peace that I had. And I walked into this place. I didn't realize what God was doing in that moment. Right? I was going a little bit kicking and screaming because, you know, sometimes you got to go to things you don't want to go to, but you have to, you know, and then you get there and you're like, okay, great, it's over, I'm done. But I walked into this one, and I kid you not, church, I walked in with so much peace that God gave me that I felt like I was walking on water. And through the entire conference, I was kind. I was happy to see people. I was gracious to our hosts. And at no point did I see the face of my enemy coming at me. At no point did I see the waves. At no point did the wind move me. It was smooth sailing. Better yet, it was easy walking on water. Church, what's the difference? The difference is the focus. You're facing things today. I don't know what they are. For some of you, I know. Physical things, health issues, doubt, worry, financial issues, huge life decisions, relationship troubles, new seasons of life, whatever it may be. All of those things can be a storm when you're focused on it. But when you're focused on your first love, you can walk on water. I got home that night from that event, and Nancy looked at me. She says, "Are you okay? How are you? You all right?" Because coming home from those events were difficult. I came home feeling victorious but run down, feeling abused, feeling hurt, feeling heavy, feeling like I needed a bath with bleach and steel wool. I walked in this last time and I looked at her and I said, "God was with me. I'm untouchable." Do you get it, church? When you're focused on Jesus, it doesn't matter what storm. You are untouchable. Because it's not Peter walking on water and it wasn't Jeff walking on water. It was me in the hand of God being led. My challenge for you today, get out of the boat. Focus on Jesus. Walk on water. Are you ready to walk on water? Are you ready to get out of the boat? Are you ready to move forward? Stay focused. Because Jesus' saving hand is there. And you know, that's what's so good about God. It's because I know that I'm human. And I know that I've had a walking on water moment. And I know I'll be able to do it again through the power of the Lord. But I also know there's going to be a moment when the storm is going to rage and I am going to lose my focus. But just like he did with Peter, he does with each and every one of us. You lost focus? It's okay. Refocus. And Jesus' saving hands comes right out. And Jesus says, "I got you." You may start to sink. Refocus. Because Jesus' hand is there. And he says, "I've got you." So while I ask you today to really do some self-reflection, if I ask you today to really do some self-reflection and ask yourself, are you focused or have you drifted? And if you've drifted, is it fear or doubt? And if it is, refocus. Some of you today need to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Some of you haven't done it all the way. Some of you are still on the fence, and that's fine. But just so you know, the devil owns the fence. So get off the fence and start walking with Jesus today. That's what you need to do today. He's calling you by name. Some of you need to get out of the boat and start staying focused on God and start working and allow God to work through you so that the miracles that he's already planned to do through you will be done. Some of your storms seem so overwhelming. Refocused on your first love. There are many health needs in our church. And we continue to pray and trust God. There is loss and mourning around us. But we mourn not like the pagans, but we still mourn. It still hurts. But God is with you in that if you focus on him. You know, when we find ourselves in storms, sometimes the storm can be that I want to go share my faith with somebody, and now that I'm doing that, these people hate me for sharing my faith with them. That's okay. It really is okay. Because sometimes, like Jesus told his disciples, get in the boat and go, I'll meet you there. And they get in the boat and they're going. Jesus told us to go, and all of a sudden they're in the storm. How could Jesus send me somewhere where there's going to be a storm? How could Jesus have me go through this health issue? How could Jesus have me go through this financial issue? How could Jesus hurt me so bad with this mourning and loss? How come? So you can focus on him and know him and let him be everything you need. Jesus will tell you to get out of the boat. And when you do, worship Jesus on a whole new level for the power and presence of him in your life. Learn to trust him more deeply, church. Be courageous. The Lord said, have I not commanded you to be bold and courageous? It means you got to get out of the boat. When fear and doubt come in, cry out to Jesus. Because everything else you reach for to overcome fear and doubt, it's not going to work. He's the only answer. When you get to that place, when you get there, when you get out of that boat, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Three verses I'm going to share with you right now. James 4:8, come near to God and he will come near to you. Psalms 150, verse 6. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 12:2. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for your guidance. We thank you that when you call us, we know you've got us. We thank you for your words that say, do not be afraid, it is I. Lord, I ask that we turn our hearts and our eyes to you today. And we stay focused on you, our first love. And as the storms rage, Lord, let the world around us see us walking peacefully across the water. Help us to lead others to you as we do so. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus.
Can you say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord?
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine on you. May he be gracious to you. And may the Lord lift up his face to you and give you peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Greet one another in the love of the Lord.
We're so glad you're able to join us today. If you would like to watch the full service with the worship time included, you can check out our Facebook page. For more information about our church, go to our website at www.bbfoursquare.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.